Who would like to open us in prayer today? Any volunteers? Okay, Richard.
Thank you, Miss Jeanette. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day in the name of your Son, Jesus, to thank you for the grace and mercy that you have poured out our way. Thank you for loving us, Father. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins. Thank you for hearing our prayers and answering them. What a mighty God we do serve. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done, not only for us, but those that we love as well. Thank you for shielding and protecting our children. Thank you for our siblings, Lord God, that you've kept a hedge around them. Thank you, Lord, that you haven't dealt with them or us in the way that we deserve. So, Father, we praise your holy name. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Quieten our spirit, Lord. Quieten our mind. Everything that's been going on until this call, Lord, bring us to a stillness that we may hear from you. Father, we need to hear from you. So would you please do that today? Speak through Jeanette. Bless her. Anoint her. Allow your word to come through in a mighty way that only you can bring it, Father. And then, Lord, give us ears to truly hear, a mind to understand. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. We ask this all in Jesus' name, and that you would bless those that want to call in but unable. And for those that will be calling in, we ask you bless them as well. We thank you today, Father, and may your word truly anoint us all today. Thank you, Lord, for this season of thanksgiving and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
We're going to take a quick, because it's Christmas, and even though all of us know, or some of us, or most of us know, that the Messiah did not come to earth during December. This is not Jesus' birthday. This is, for centuries prior to the birth of Jesus, it was a tree worshiping ceremony. If you ever ask yourself, well, why do we adorn the tree? Why do we put all these presents under a tree and make the tree as beautiful as possible? It's because pagans worshipped the tree for centuries. And they worshipped the tree as a life-giving force. It's interesting to me that without all the science and able, it seems that that many, many centuries ago, people still had a certain knowledge that it's kind of hard for us to figure out where could they have gotten it if they were so, as we would call, primitive. But they understood that trees brought life, and trees do bring us life because, as you know, the carbon dioxide is turned back into oxygen, and that's life for us. Without trees, we would perish. They seemed to know this many centuries before Christ was born, and it happened to be celebrated on, guess what day, December 25th, So when Rome basically took over Christianity, as we called it, in order to keep as many people engaged as possible, they added the tree worshiping ceremony on December 25th and then just slapped Jesus' birthday on that. So we say, okay, we'll put a manger under a tree. You see where the compromise starts coming in?
Yes.
So when we talk about this and we talk about that, we're engaging in pagan worship, just putting a tree in your house. So why am I bringing this up? Not to tell you not to have a Christmas tree for your children or whatever floats your boat, but be aware of it and just understand that we live by grace.
Amen.
Because we are screwing up all the time. We are doing things that could be offensive to the Lord constantly, and most of us don't even know it. We don't even know that participating in this or that could be offensive to the Lord for the origin of it. We're clueless, but we live by grace, and the Lord says, I'm not worried about this, so much of the nonsense that we concern ourselves with. There was a time where I would have said, so no Christian should have a tree in their house. Well, we're not worshiping a tree, period. But it is kind of fun to decorate the trees and you know, let your kids have their little presents and have Christmas. I've changed my view on how strict I was trying to carry out my belief with my own children now that they're grown. Oops, too late. But anyway, I've already had all of this stuff that I, you know, but now I see it a little different. I see that we're living by grace and not by works. And we understand that this isn't Jesus' birthday, but participating and giving to other people and the festivities, I don't think is a terrible thing. I think whatever you feel comfortable with is okay, but I'm bringing this up. How do we know that Jesus was not born on the 25th? Well, because the shepherds were out, right, watching their flock, and in that part of the country, they watched their flock in August and September. At the latest they could be out there is October, out in the field. So there we have it. But meanwhile, we are going to visit the Christmas story. So our reader, please go to Matthew, the second chapter.
You said chapter 5?
No, Matthew 2.
Oh, Matthew 2. Thank you.
And we're starting at verse 18.
Matthew 2, 18.
Everybody that has it, just say, hey, so we know you have it if you want to have it.
Hey.
Got it.
Anybody we need to wait for? Or can we go forward?
No.
I have it.
Where is he?
Yep. Okay, start reading, reader.
All righty. And this is out of the NIV, Matthew 2:18. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children.
No,
and refusing...
that's not it. That's not where I mean to be.
Okay.
It must be Matthew 1:18.
You got it. Matthew 1:18. Joseph accepts Jesus as his son.
Mm-hmm. Now,
this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Stop when there Joseph... for a second. I just want to point out something that I'm sure everybody knows. But we're talking about an immaculate conception, which makes Jesus what? Is Jesus the son of Joseph or not?
No.
No. Nope.
Mm-hmm. He is not the son of Joseph, but he is the son of Mary.
Yes.
So he is half God and half human, which means he is being born into sin just like the rest of us. He is coming from a sinful woman and born into sin, a sinful DNA, just like the rest of us. Okay.
When Joseph woke up, he did not wait what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
So we see with Joseph, hold on just one second.
Sure.
Joseph gets a visitation from an angel, and he completely obeys it. How many of us could or would believe something like that? The person you're with gets pregnant, or the person you're with comes up with something that could only come from some kind of intercourse, and the Lord visits you in a dream and says, yeah, well, what they have is not from man, it's or woman, this came from me, so marry them anyway. It really takes great faith. And I think it's kind of blown over a lot with Joseph, because Joseph has to be challenged with whether or not he can believe that this is, that she's pregnant by what now? What? You said the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
And yet you don't see anything in the story that indicates Joseph even questioned it.
Right.
Well, it did say in the story that Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. So he wouldn't question what the angels would say, but certainly his human nature was, as it said, he did think about it. And then that's when the Lord had to appear to him, or an angel appeared to him in a dream, because that is a difficult thing to swallow. But
yeah,
because he's a righteous man, he thought about it in a righteous way, because he is the son, he's an heir of King David.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But this is, he already had made up his mind. He's going to put her away. He's going to let her go ahead and have this baby, and to save her the disgrace.
Yes.
I'm sorry, at his own expense. Number one, how many of us are even willing to do that? This is before he's visited by the angel.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
How many of us are really willing to spare somebody that we think has not been true to us or loyal to us, but he's going to go out of his way to spare her the embarrassment. And then just quietly, it says, put her away when this ordeal is over, after she has this baby. That speaks volumes of who he is. As soon as she started showing that she's pregnant, most men would say, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't. Okay, keep going.
When Joseph woke up, oh, what? Liar, liar, pants on fire. The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written.
Hmm.
But
so why
but
was
you,
so wait one second. Why
sure.
was so why was Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem? You guys know the story. Somebody tell me, why were they in Bethlehem?
I think at this time they all had to return to their original place of birth due to the census.
Yeah.
Right?
The census.
It was because of the census. So all men were ordered back to their place of origin. Is that correct? I may be
exactly.
wrong.
Exactly.
Oh.
Yeah.
And they had to bring a sacrifice.
Right, always.
And the sacrifice was predicated on what? I want somebody else, anybody else, turn to Leviticus 12, 7 through 8. Leviticus 12, 7 through 8.
Hmm. I have it.
Okay, read.
He shall offer them before the Lord to make an atonement for her, and then she will be ceremonially clean from her flow or blood. These are the regulations for the woman whom give birth to a boy or a girl. If she cannot afford a lamb, she is to bring two doves or two young pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. In this way, the priest will make an atonement for her, and she will be clean.
Okay, so a woman that is having a child has to do a atonement offering for cleansing, according to the law. Okay, go back and keep reading, Alexandra.
Sure. For this what the prophet has written, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Okay, stop for a second. I want to point out, so that we can understand, we talk a lot about spiritual warfare, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here is a classic example where you see that the devil knows the word also. Herod knows that a king's going to be born, but is it Herod or is it the adversary? Who is trying to stomp out the birth of Jesus?
The adversary.
Oh, yes, adversary.
So he knows the Bible, too.
Yeah.
He knows the word, too. He knows the prophecies, too. When these prophecies come, both sides end up hearing about it. It's put in paper, it's written, it's spoken. So he knows that this child is going to be born. And where was the first prophecy of Jesus' birth?
Isaiah.
Richard says Isaiah. How about we go all
back
the way
in Genesis.
Back to Genesis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he talks about that the woman's heel will bruise his head.
Right.
The woman. Why the woman?
Because that's who deceived.
The birth?
Richard says it's because it's who deceived him. How about it's because it's from her womb that this Messiah will be born? The very woman that you deceived and caused all this sin to come into the world, it will be from her that you will be defeated. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
God is going to send his spirit to inhabit her womb and the child that's being formed in her womb, and it is from the same woman that you deceived, will come your destruction.
Mm.
Remember that's spoken in the garden.
Right.
So the adversary is got his eyes poked out all this while waiting, knowing this Messiah is coming. Don't know from where. Don't know exactly how, but I know it's coming, and I know it's coming from the line of David. So if I could just stomp out the Jews, that would be good. And it looked like he almost did stomp out the Jews, didn't he?
Yeah.
Babylon,
mm-hmm.
bringing them into captivity, all kinds of murder. Remember Haman, who tried in the story of Esther, who tried to kill every Jewish exile? Mm-hmm. Why is he hell-bent on killing the Jews? He knows they're the chosen people. And he knows that it is from this line that all these prophecies have come. And he's going to do anything he can to stop that from happening, because he will lose his reign. He will lose his control. Prior to this, sin is reigning here on earth. And there's nothing we have or we can do about it past keep bringing our offerings when we've sinned and keep bringing this and preach. And then that even turns sinful, because the priests, the Levites, and the Sadducees and Pharisees turned that into a money-making gimmick where it really wasn't about repentance at all. So Satan's just sitting back having a good old time. But he knows his days are numbered. He's always known his days are numbered. So here we know the Messiah is coming. I'm going to make a way. Now you could say from Herod that a king is born. Do you think the king was thinking Messiah? Do you think the king recognized that this was a divine inception? Or do you think the king just thought that it's another king being born that the Jews have been looking for to set them free?
I think he knew it was the real deal coming.
No. And I don't think they ever understood, because if you recall, even the disciples didn't understand that Jesus was coming to set the captives free, and they thought free from Rome. But that's not what Jesus came for. He said came to set our souls free. He came to give us eternal life, something that Herod the king and those would not know anything about. Even the disciples didn't understand it, and they were Jews. So what the devil gets in Herod's mind is, this is a king that's going to try to free the Jews from Rome. We're not having it. Because if you look into history, at this time, Roman dominance was what was taking place. Rome was just conquering everything and everybody and building roads and everything else. Funny, because the roads that Rome ends up building because of their conquest, they were building these roads at the very time Jesus was here on earth. Those are the very roads that are used to spread the gospel to all corners of the earth at that time.
Come on now.
Here we
go again. Do you think that he always knew that? That's what he was sent to do?
Absolutely. Jesus knew his purpose so clearly that by the time he was 12, he was teaching the priests in the synagogue.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But let me go a little further. He gets older, and he's about to come into his ministry, and he stands up in the synagogue, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And he uses the very same words, prophetic words, that were used for the Messiah. Yes, Jesus knew he was the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he understood his purpose, but his disciples did not.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the disciples were always, groveling of who's going to be most important, not just in the kingdom of heaven, but in the kingdom that they thought Jesus was setting up on earth. That was the very thing that disappointed Judas so much. Judas was sure they were all going to be rich, and they were all going to be reigning with him here on earth. And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And he often spoke in parables about the kingdom of God. Not this kingdom here on earth, but all of this is going right over the disciples' heads, and they're just thinking, finally, we have a deliverer. Kind of like a Martin Luther King has been born, and he's going to help march us into, out of slavery. He's going to deliver us from the hand of our enemies. But no, that's not what Jesus came to do. And if you notice, Jesus took no part in political affairs.
No.
Because his kingdom was not of this world. Jesus is our example, and you watch what he did. He helped people. He healed people. He gave hope to people, salvation to people. And then when he rose from the dead, he offers that to us, that we too will not be trapped here by the grave. But no, Herod is just being moved by the devil. Remember last week when we were talking about Job? and how Satan visited him in this dream, telling him all this Antichrist garbage in a dream. He's always whispering in somebody's ear, often ours. A lot of times, that's why I say, check your thought at the door. Check your thoughts at the door. That's how you protect your mind. So he knows what Herod's fears are, and Herod's fears is that there's going to come a king that's going to cause us trouble. So I'll just use that. Yeah, kill the king. That's what they are. You need to kill the king. But Satan himself, who's planting these seeds in Herod's head, that's why I say always look at the bigger picture. Herod just thinks he's killing a king.
Right.
Satan thinks he's killing the Son of God. He knows it's the Son of God. Remember, Jesus was in the beginning. When we go to John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and without him, there was nothing made that was made. So what does that tell you? That says that Jesus was with the Father before Lucifer was even conceived. Before Lucifer was created, Jesus was already with the Father. So don't think Lucifer doesn't know Jesus. He knows all about him. And then when it was made clear in Genesis that the same woman that you deceived, her heel is going to bruise your head. In other words, she's going to crush the head of the serpent. Why would it be crush the head of the serpent? Somebody tell me. Why would he use that terminology? I'll tell you. Because it's the only way to kill a snake.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is
if
the only way to kill
a snake. If you cut the snake in half, the snake will grow the rest of its body back.
Mm-hmm.
The only way to kill a snake is to crush its head.
Mm-hmm.
And why the snake? Because that's the animal or the whatever that is, reptile, that Satan entered in. I keep taking these little sidebars because I don't know when we're going to ever get back to this subject. It's important to me. If you notice in Genesis when the snake was punished and it was forced to eat dirt and crawl on its belly all the days of its life, doesn't that indicate that maybe the snake was more responsible than you think?
Yeah.
The snake wouldn't be punished if something just entered into the snake and took it over.
He allowed it.
The snake allowed it. The snake cooperated.
Prior to that, the snake could fly.
That's according to
Josephus. What did you say,
Richard? Prior to that, before the snake allowed the spirit of Satan to enter, it was able to fly.
That's according to Josephus.
Wow.
Josephus is a historian that just wrote the story from a historical point.
Gotcha.
The Bible leaves that little fact out. But it is definitely believed by the curse. If the curse says you now have to crawl around on your belly, wasn't he doing that in the first place? Apparently not.
Obviously not,
But there's still one snake, if I'm not mistaken, that's actually able to still fly. It's not in a long length of time. I'm going to find out what kind of snake that is. I think.
Well, it's that it shoots itself into the air.
Okay.
It can still, there are certain snakes that can propel themselves into the air as if they're flying.
Wow.
But the original snake apparently could actually fly. He wasn't grounded. These are not the snakes you're talking about that can propel themselves into the air and leap as though they're flying. As though they're flying.
Yes.
But they land. They land.
They land.
Unlike a bird.
Right.
So the snake, the serpent, often even the adversary is called the serpent, but really he entered the serpent according to Genesis. So here we have, I'm going to get back to the point, we have him still on earth whispering in the ears of humans constantly as he, remember what Eliphaz said last week? In my dream, he was whispering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. He's always been around. He's always trying to do what he can do. And mm-hmm. here we are in Herod's ear trying to get him killed. Get Jesus killed. Okay, please continue back to Matthew.
I just want to put a footnote. It's called a chrysoplea, is the name of the snake that propels itself from tree to tree. And it's seen in Southeast Asia. I just wanted to close on it. Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sure. The escape to Egypt. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I call my son. When
Stop
Herod
right there. Stop there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know how many of you have been a part of the Bible study when we were talking about Judah. And we also talked about in another Bible study how Judah, when Jerusalem is finally invaded and Greeks and Rome and everything, they're taking over Jerusalem again. The Judah tribe fled to Africa, to Ghana, which was called the tribe of Judah at that time because there were so many of them that fled to that part of Africa. But here we see that Joseph is told to go to Egypt, again, Africa. Anybody have a clue how far Africa is from Bethlehem? It's only about 70 miles.
Pop, skip it, yeah.
70 miles. Let me see. 70 miles from here puts me halfway to, almost to Sacramento when I'm in California. I mean, just think about 70 miles, 60 miles from Melbourne, Florida to Orlando.
Yeah, it's right up the street.
Well, if you have a car. If you're walking
well, yeah.
and you do about 20 miles a day, a little over mm-hmm. 20, you could. It's a 3-day journey.
Yeah.
But 3-day journey was enough to put him out of harm's way. But also, get the visual. You've got Bethlehem is roughly 70 miles from Africa. So the people of that region can go back and forth and easily hide among the Egyptians. Remember, mm-hmm. the Hebrews and the Egyptians looked so much alike that they could not tell Moses was Egyptian.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay, so now you've got Joseph obedient, and here he is hiding out in Egypt. I want to bring something up because this is what is on my heart. Joseph and Mary were poor. Joseph and Mary were poor. And how do we know that? Because remember in Leviticus where he says that Mary had to bring a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons?
Mm-hmm.
Not this isn't in Leviticus, but you had to bring turtle doves and pigeons if you were so poor for your offering for cleanliness.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary brought turtle doves and pigeons, which was accepted if you were too poor and you could not afford a lamb. So here's the question. Where'd they get the money to go just up and move to Egypt? Anybody?
The gift of the
When Good God question. Tells you to do something, he's going to provide a way for you to do it.
Amen.
And that's what I'm getting at right now. We are in perilous times right now. It looks like how are we going to continue if America stays on the road that it's on? What's going to happen with all the businesses that have closed? How are the people who have no jobs going to get another one?
God.
That's a good question.
If God brings you to it, God will bring you through it.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, he knew. Amen. Now, here they come, and they're coming to because of the census, and they're coming to all the way. That's hard enough to gather up your stuff to make a journey to however far they were coming from to get to Bethlehem.
Right.
That's already expensive. They don't have vacation funds. They're already broke. And now God is going to tell them to go to Egypt to hide this child.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 3-day journey on what? And when we get to Egypt, where are we going to stay? But God had already made a way. Remember, they brought them expensive frankincense, myrrh.
And myrrh, yeah.
And gold. They were giving a provision to take them where God intended them to go. I want to say to you, saints, that when God is taking you someplace, when he has a plan and a purpose for your life, he will provide. He will provide what you need for this journey.
Mm-hmm.
You might say, gee, I'm here, my pockets are empty. No worries, because what you need will be provided. We see that in the same story of Abraham. Abraham, same story. He gets there. He needs a sacrifice. He has no sacrifice. He thought he was supposed to sacrifice his son. And yet there was a lamb, a ram in the bush, already provided for him so that he could make the sacrifice. If it's ministry and God is leading you in ministry and you're wondering, how are we going to do this? God will provide. The situation that America is in right now is not a big surprise to God. This did not come upon him unaware. He wasn't turned the other way and, whoops, COVID. God will provide. Anybody that's struggling or wondering how their job is going to hold up or how are they going to get paid if they have to take off, if their job is shut down, God will provide. Just as he did for Joseph. So Joseph finds himself with all the money he needs to sustain a family for 2 years in Egypt. And then he comes back. Okay, keep reading.
16. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted, because they are no more.
Stop. What a horrible backlash that came when Jesus was born. Back to what I talked about. We are in a spiritual battle. It's warfare. We can't be surprised when there's backlash. Of course there's going to be backlash. Nothing that we go forward and do is not going to come at a price. I want you to understand that when you're in ministry and when you're just trying to do the right thing. Sometimes doing the right thing costs.
Yeah.
It can cost. It can be painful. It can look like it's going the other way. Isaiah says in Isaiah 41, fear not, for I am with you. This is Isaiah 41, verse 10, one of my favorites in the whole world.
Mine too, yes.
Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed.
Yes.
For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. In this time and this season that is supposed to be a season of, you know, happiness and holiday spirit and la, 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 instead we are facing a terrible time here on earth. What has been unleashed into our atmosphere is devouring people. It's devouring them. Whether you view it as a little microscopic germ or you see it as a demonic force using this, it's devouring people. But I say to you, don't be fearful because he is still with you. I'm going to give my testimony. Some of you have heard it. Some of you have not. I've had COVID twice now. And this is my second bout with COVID. And I've made it through again. But during the night, one of the nights, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I could not breathe. I was struggling for every breath. I went into coughing fits that were cutting my breath even shorter. Richard said, maybe you should really consider going to the hospital. But the Lord said, anoint yourself with oil. Put oil on your chest. Well, I could feel lumps in my chest all throughout my lungs. You could tell that they were, my breathing was being constricted by knots inside of my air passages to my lungs. The Lord said, anoint your chest and put your Bible on your chest. I did what he told me to do. I did not cough again till 9:30 the next morning. And when I woke up, I went immediately to sleep. I went into such a sound sleep, I can't even remember the thought of wanting to go to sleep. I passed out so completely. But when I woke up, all of the knots in my chest were gone.
Hallelujah.
This is the God we serve.
Hallelujah.
This is the God we serve.
Yes.
Understand Hallelujah. That even though it may be a physical thing, yeah. disease is not from God.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's from the devil, we can come at it spiritually.
Yes.
Take up our swords. It may look like one thing in a test tube, but I wonder what COVID looks like if your eyes were open.
Amen.
I wonder if it is not a horde of demonic spirits snatching up people and devouring them, eating them up from within.
Yes.
I wonder if that's what that might just look like. Yes. But greater is he that is in us than the heathens of the world. We don't have to accept everything he puts down.
Amen.
We might get hit. We might get knocked down, but God gives us the tools to get up.
Amen.
Preach it.
Amen.
Preach it.
John, 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15 says, and this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Do not be afraid to ask. A lot of us won't pray specifically. Not sure what our thing is, but we will not ask. And if we know that he hears us, in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Somebody turn to 1 John 5, 14 and 15, and read it in another version. First John 5, 14 and 15.
Oh, for example, 14.
Okay.
14. This I have the King James. Oh, go for it.
This
sorry,
is the
Richard.
Confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. If anyone, see his brother, commits.
Mm-hmm. They'll stop right there.
Okay, all right.
Put these two verses in your arsenal. Because the sword is the word of God. It's our tool, it's our weapon against what the adversary is throwing at us. So if his word says that in confidence we can ask anything according to his will and he will hear us, that's the word we should be using. So what does that mean you should do? Are you going to sit there and say, gee, let me see, can't breathe, lungs shutting down, I think this is it, and I'm going to quote, and this is the confidence that we have towards him. If we ask anything, he will hear us, and we know that he hears us, so whatever we ask, we know that our request will be answered of him. So we know that that's what the word says, and we quote the word, but if we don't use the word, all we are doing is looking at our sword.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between quoting a scripture and doing what it just told you to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at the word. You're hearing in John 15 that he says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Ask. And yet we'll sit there and we'll say, well, you said ask anything in your name. So you've pulled your sword out. That's great. You're looking at your sword. Now use it. Use what he's told you to do. Pray specifically. You said, Lord, that this is what you would do if we ask. So I'm asking in the name of Jesus, in your will, that you heal me. I'm asking that you restore my finances. I'm asking you, Lord, that you rescue my children from the hand of the enemy. Pray specifically and expect to be answered.
Amen.
Remember, if you're going to pray and not believe it, then that man should expect nothing from God, he says in the book of James. So pray with expectation. He's given us promises. He says, I'm with you. Don't be discouraged. I am your God. As Joseph was obedient, we need to be obedient. And God will provide. Wherever God is taking each one of you on this call, God will take you the rest of the way. If he's told you to do something, he'll provide what you need to do it.
Yeah.
Don't get frozen and say, well, I can't go forward because I don't know how God's going to do this. Just walk in faith. If the Lord has told you that this is what he's going to bring about, then walk in faith. Start making the preparation for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where the money's going to come from. I don't know how this is going to be, but I know it is.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that I better be doing what I need to be doing so that when that time comes and the Lord says move, I've done what he's told me to do. Any questions?
Amen. No, ma'am.
Clear as water. Amen. Do what you know.
I say move, move.
Move, bust a move.
Just make sure you're conscious enough to know it's God speaking to you and not the adversary.
And don't be fearful. Don't be fearful.
Don't be fearful.
Because that'll ambush you every time.
Yes,
it'll
it
paralyze you.
It does. Yes, been there, done that.
It paralyzes you.
Yeah.
Anybody on this call that has dreams or visions and they don't know if they're from God, ask the Lord specifically, Lord, do not allow any unclean thing to even enter my dreams.
Yep, he'll do that. It's true. I do it every
I've
night.
I've seen people that have the gifts of dreams and they get dreams from both sides. Submit that gift to the Lord.
That's you, Sheba.
So that the adversary can't show up and tell you some cuckoo for Cocoa Pops, and then you're all confused.
Yeah.
But just like with Eliphaz last week, his dream did not line up with God.
No.
God doesn't look at us as some little speck of dust. God isn't looking forward to crushing us like a moth. That doesn't line up with the God that we know. God we know loves us. Calls us by name. Knew us before we were conceived. So it doesn't line up. Learn how to know your shepherd's voice.
Amen.
When you're asking the Lord, when you're praying, when you're in your quiet time, say, Lord, help me to hear and distinguish your voice from the noise all around me.
Yes.
As we enter into this new year that we're coming upon, trust God is going to go with us through this. There's a lot that's coming on the earth. The adversary knows that his time is short.
Yes.
So he's running around like a maniac, like a roaring lion, wiping people out, causing pain and heartache and grief. But if you are in the Lord, he will take care of his people to the time of his coming. It's going to be rough. It's going to be uncertain. But our certainty lies in our hope in Christ.
Amen.
That's where our certainty lies. So, you know, you listen to the news and, oh, this is happening, that's happening. Really doesn't matter because you're resting in him.
Amen.
He's got you. No matter what it looks like, he's got you.
Hallelujah.
If you are stricken with pestilence, he's got you.
Hallelujah.
So we are going to close on Psalm 91.
Oh, our favorite.
Psalm 91.
We're going to read it together?
Yes, that'd be great for those who have.
Yes, I love it.
Well, we can't read it together because nobody's on the same. We all have different versions.
Oh, okay. Okay, you read it.
He that dwelleth in the sacred place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, and in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Where am I?
He will cover you.
He will cover us with his feathers, and under his wings shall we trust. His truth shall be our shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000. Ooh, what did we say?
Hallelujah.
1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. For he will make his Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge. Then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up with their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. You will tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion shall you trample under feet. Because the Lord has loved you, he will rescue you. He will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen.
Amen.
Woo!
Stand on that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
He will bear thee up with, the angels will bear thee up with your head, lest you dash your foot against the stone.
Yeah.
That's the kind of power we have on our side.
Yes.
Make sure you're on the right side. Because if you're not, and you're living in these times, you're SOL.
Yep.
Which means so out of luck.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means, Sheba. It means so out of luck. Just saying, ain't saying. Make sure that you are grounded where you need to be. And
yes.
Lord, add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Yes.
Yes,
amen. Yes,
it's
amen.
Hard to believe this is the last Sunday in 2020. I didn't think I was going to see the last Sunday.
Hmm. And yet here you are.
Ain't God good?
Yeah.
And
God
yet here
good.
You are.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
And many did not make it.
Amen.
Many didn't.
May they rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Dear Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your covering. We thank you that you have blessed us to be in this time that we're living in. Raise us up, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit to be tools that can be used to help people through this hardship, this pain, and the suffering that they're in, Lord. Let us be the light that you called us to be in darkness, Lord.
Yes.
Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Let your Spirit come down as an anointing on each one that is on this call, Lord. Fill us, Lord Jesus. Refresh
us
in your Spirit, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Father God.
By the power of your name.
Yes, Lord.
By the power of your name.
Yes,
let
Jesus.
Us walk boldly, Lord Jesus.
Jesus.
We thank you, Lord, for your blessings. We thank you for everything that doesn't look like a blessing. We thank you for that, too. We thank you for the hardships, Lord. Let us learn from it. Let us be what we can be to pull somebody else up who has fallen along the wayside, Lord.
Yes, Father.
In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen.
You guys
have
a wonderful
day.
Sunday.
You too, Ms. Jeanette. We'll talk to you Wednesday.
Okay.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Jeanette,
bye, everybody.
Parker.
Bye. Merry, happy holidays.
Jay, what about, somebody said Mrs.
Thanks.
Parker?
Oh,
you said you were going to
pray
for
her? Anybody still on the call? Yeah, I think we are.
I am.
And Lord, thank you, Fran, for that, because that just went right past my mind. Dear Lord, we lift up Mrs. Parker. We lift her up where she is, Lord. Please, Lord, let everybody that is in unison right now, let the power of prayer, that two or more gathered in your name, Lord, we have a little village here, Lord. I'm asking you to take the power of prayer and reach Miss Parker where she is, where she should never again need an oxygen tank, Lord Jesus. I ask you to strengthen her body where she can walk again. I ask you to remove that diabetes that is trying to take over her body now, Lord. I ask you to clear up her mind. She says there's moments she can't even remember her name. I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to raise Miss Parker up. She has been a faithful servant to you, Lord Jesus, and blessed the lives of many people. So we together, Lord, are asking you for a healing on her behalf. You just said that if we ask, you would answer. So we leave this decision in your will, but we are certainly asking, Lord.
In the name of
Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Yes, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Goodbye,
Amen.
Folks.
Bye, Jay. Bye, Tammy. Have a good one.
Bye, friends. Bye, Jeanette.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.
Got the four-hour start now.